All right. Good morning, everyone. It is 10:01 on January 18th. We have a quorum present, and we are going to call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number three. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for January 18th, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Chairman, there is one staff suggestion.
Yes.
Thank you, Austin Osborne. For the record, we'd like to remove number 18, the purchase of transportation mode, from the agenda.
Noted. Thank you, County Manager. Is there any other public comment?
Corey, would you let me know if anybody chats in?
All right, not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, would you entertain a motion?
I'd move to approve today's agenda with the noted exception of removing item number 18.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for November 16th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for November 16th? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding the minutes?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No. Thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes of November 16th, 2021.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number five is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature or star six to unmute yourself. I believe it's star 9 to raise your hand if you're calling in. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding today's consent agenda?
Nothing, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number six, which is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Give it just one more second. Not seeing any public comment. We are going to move on to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we're going to start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. Nothing today.
Easy enough. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving on to the Fire Department, Fire Chief Longcar.
Good morning, Commissioner. Jeremy Longcar for the record. I'll keep my update really brief. One, we were just awarded approximately around $15,000 in grant money to purchase some very well-needed wildland equipment. So we'll be buttoning that up here in the next little bit. And a follow-up to an incident that we did have last week, a hazardous materials incident in TRI. We're working very close to ensure that things like this don't happen in the future. So We'll be reaching out to multiple businesses and increasing our enforcement and also working with them on just a operations and mitigation side. And that's all I have. I'll take questions for you.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Chief?
I have no questions. Thank you, Chief.
Vice Chair?
No, I just appreciate you being proactive on that stuff out there with the chemicals. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Nothing. Thank you. Moving right along to Public Works, Jason Wersbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I just have a couple of quick items here. As you know, Jay, when we had our NDOT annual meeting last week, talking about the horse sign replacement on the highway on 341, we're approaching a little over a year mark trying to get approval from NDOT just on to replace these signs on the existing posts. Another item is the last snowfall we got back in December on Christmas week, as you know, still doing some cleanup around town, but one of our big plows took a big hit. Our Kenworth plow, the whole front end grenaded on it. So we're looking at trying to get pricing and availability because that whole truck was a custom built back when in the day of Rich Backus. And so parts can't just be bought off the shelf and thrown on the truck. Everything has to be built. So we're trying to see if it's going to be worth repairing or try to submit for a new truck down the road. That's all I have at this point in time.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate your guys out there doing what they can to get the snow removed. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No, thank you, Jason.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Jason.
Well,
moving on to projects. Thank you. Projects coordinator, Mike Northan. Is he here today, Dory? I can't see. Okay. We will move on to communications. Becky Parsons.
Good morning, Becky Parsons, for the record. I have nothing to report today.
That's always a good thing. Thank you. Moving on to emergency management, Laura Mather.
Good morning. I'm using a new setup this morning, so I want to make sure you can hear me okay.
Loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you. Laura Mather, for the record. Starting with our COVID-19 update. For the reporting period ending January 8th, we have 12 new recorded cases. So we went from zero cases the previous reporting period to 12 cases this reporting period. Overall, for the Quad Counties during that reporting time, there was 1,422 new cases. This is up 145% from the previous reporting period. So for Story County, if we have another week of a higher percentage of cases, we will move back onto the stricter mask requirements for the county. So I will keep everybody posted on that. We should know about Thursday how our numbers are moving. And again, just to remind everybody, as we know, the CDC is making changes in their guidelines and requirements. So as always, get healthycarsoncity.org. All of the updated information, requirements, guidelines, restrictions, or the COVID-19 hotline for Quad County is 775-434-1988. I wanted to give an update to the commissioners and the community about the federal funding. It's been sort of a moving target throughout this whole process. So we started with the American Rescue Plan funding. When that first came out, it was sort of a lot of congratulating and backpatting, and we were sort of under the impression by how it was being presented that millions of dollars would be coming out to all of the communities, all of our infrastructure would be taken care of, we'd all be working out of the Palace of Versailles, And that certainly didn't happen. Counties received an allotted amount of funding directly, and that is based on population. So Story County received will be receiving two payments. The first payment was a little over $400,000. And 12 months later, we will receive another $400,000. As we know from our capital improvement plan, we have a lot of infrastructure needs, particularly water. Sorry about that, particularly water. So what we're doing is we allocated that $400,000, and then the next $400,000 that we receive, we are allocating that to our water projects. As we know, and we've talked about before, it's a strong need and something that we want to take care of. So that will help us start that process. The other availability of the American Rescue Plan funding is from the U.S. Economic Development Administration. This funding is a grant. It's a competitive grant, and it is based on jobs. So this funding is for the creation and retention of jobs. We are going to apply. We have been in the process of applying for $6.5 million through this grant for our water projects. What we are doing is, this is a competitive grant, so we want to be as competitive as possible in this. So we are taking our $400,000 and we are going to add it to that possible grant. We cannot use it as a match, because you can't use federal funds as a match for a federal grant. So we can't use it for a match, but we can use it for an addition to show that we are, that this is an important project and we are dedicated to it and we want to get it done. So we're going to add that $400,000 to it. So we're kind of expanding that $400,000 and making it go as far as we possibly can. So for the ARPA funds that are currently out, with relation to the Story County's needs, they are very limited. The next funding that is coming out, and it's changed the acronym several times. It was BIF there for a while. Now it is the, let's see what the new acronym is for it. It's the IIJA. So this is the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So this is the current funding that is at the federal level that we keep hearing about. Initially, it was $3 trillion. Then it went down to $2 trillion. That is still going through the federal process. We're hoping that that funding aligns more with the needs of Story County. Based on our conversations with the Porter Group, who is obviously monitoring this very closely, it is going to be about a year before we will be able to see any funding from that particular program. And, you know, again, we're watching it. We're hoping that aligns with us, but we're looking at a year before we can start applying for or the possibility of receiving funds from that federal allocation. Now, going back to the ARPA funds, the state of Nevada did receive a substantial amount of funding. The state currently has their interim finance committee working on that funding and figuring out how the state is going to allocate it, whether they will be granting out those funds. So there is a possibility between now and the next year when the IIJA funding comes out that we will have other opportunities. And basically, Story County has done everything needed to be prepared for that. And that is in our capital improvement plan. So that plan is exactly what we need to have to be ready as this funding comes out, as things change, as the different departments at the state and the federal level make the decisions on how they're going to grant out that funding, we are ready for it. So between our capital improvement plan and monitoring all of this information, we're ready to go. We're just waiting for the opportunity to apply for it. So our goal during this time period, while the state's finance committee is working on it, while the federal level is working on theirs, is to make sure that at the state and federal level, people know who we are, they know who Story County is, and they know what we need, and they know that we're ready for it. So that is our goal, and that's what we're going to be working on over this next year. And that's the end of my report, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks a lot for the report, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura Mather?
I don't have questions, no. Pretty daunting task, it seems to me, Laura. Awful lot of moving parts in this thing, and as always, we're going to be delayed before we see a lot of return, but thank you for keeping a close eye on it.
Absolutely. And it is a little frustrating. And I think, just to kind of reiterate, I think kind of what's frustrating is sort of the, you know, that initial hype, I think, got all of us really excited about all the money that was coming, going to be coming in. And it was a hurry up and get ready. And then it was a wait. So we're anxiously waiting.
Yeah, I'm not sure we should all be surprised. It kind of follows the pattern, doesn't it? But again, thank you for keeping your eye on it. Maybe eventually. Yeah.
Thanks, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions for Laura?
No. Thanks for following this stuff.
All right. Thanks again for that report.
Thank you.
Moving right along to community relations, Honey Tapley.
Good morning, Honey Tapley. For the record, I have nothing new to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to the VCTC, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Commissioners. I have no update today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. How about water and sewer? Do we have Mike Nevin on there? Okay. Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. I have nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving down the list, the Assessor's Office, Janice Sutton. All right. Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I just wanted to remind everybody, I had spoken about this at the last meeting too. We have a Planning Commission meeting this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock that will be in person and on Zoom. And we have a guest speaker, Michael Vishner with the Division of Minerals from the state of Nevada, will be giving a presentation. So anybody that's available to listen in, I was able to listen to this presentation at a conference I attended in the fall and found it really interesting. So anybody that is interested in this topic, it really relates to Story County quite a bit. The second thing I wanted to let you know was that we had an introductory meeting on the Virginia City Drainage Plan with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. They are handling the grant that we received for that project. And we met with the selected consultant for it. The contract hasn't been finalized yet. It'll probably be in February. So we'll probably be starting really ramping up that project in March. One of the first items that they will do is we'll have a community meeting for the Virginia City area. And really the consultants are looking to gather input and information from the community on drainage issues that they've observed over time in the community so they can make sure that those things are included in their evaluation. So, and that's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Kathy?
No, thank you, Kathy.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for the report, Kathy. Moving on to the Recorder's Office, Marnie Hanson-Martinez.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to the IT department, I believe Tim is on, right?
Good morning, Commissioners. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up to bat is Human Resources, Toby Whitten.
Good morning. Thank you. I have nothing to report today.
All right. Moving on to community development, Pete Renaud.
Morning, commissioners. Just a little update. We've got a couple more permits for civil work being done on a couple of larger projects out in the industrial park. That's all I have for today.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Pete?
No, sir, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Pete. Moving on to community chest, Eric Schoen.
Yes. Good morning, commissioners. Just a quick update. As everybody knows, COVID's exploding around the region, and our staff has been no exception. So far, we've been able to keep everything open, and mostly I'm speaking about the youth programs that our families depend so much on, especially working parents before and after school in our early childhood education. And we have no plans to curtail services at this point in time. We're soldiering on. We're trying to use good protocol, masking protocol, disinfecting, and also rotating staff so they don't have as much exposure with one another when we can do that. But I just wanted to provide some reassurance that right now there's no plans to pull those back at all. I mean, if for some reason something happens and we have a staff-wide event, we'll let folks know. But at this point in time, absent that, we'll continue to keep those programs open. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Eric. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Eric?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks, Eric, for navigating those tricky waters.
All right, moving on to the Senior Center. Stacey York.
Good morning. Just a COVID vaccine clinic update. We will be hosting another one on Tuesday, February 1st from 3 to 4 at the Virginia City Senior Center. So anybody who needs a booster, first shot, second shot, they are open, walk-ins only. And that's it.
Thank you for that update, Stacey. Moving on to the Justice Court. Do we have Judge Harrington on there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just unmuting myself. Hi, good morning, Judge Harrington here. Actually, I do have a couple of things to talk about this morning. I'll be attending a judicial conference all next week where we'll be focusing on the effects of Assembly Bill 116 and Assembly Bill 480 on the courts. And you may recall that Assembly Bill 116 is the big bill that's turning a lot of what now misdemeanors in Nevada to civil infractions. So we'll be focusing on that. And plus we'll be discussing the effects on Assembly Bill 480 on the courts also. And that's the bill that brought the courts starting in July, will be going to a 7-day court with a requirement to see and have bail hearings within 48 hours. So we'll be doing a lot of discussing about that. And then last week I met with a group of us met with Justice Hardesty about bringing e-filing into the smaller rural courts in Nevada. And e-filing is electronic filing. So that there's, you know, it may be more efficient. It's going to cost some money, but we're also working on some grants that might be available to the courts too. So that's all I have to report today. And thank you.
Thank you very much for that report, Judge. Hope you have a wonderful trip out there and bring back some more useful info.
Thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Judge or comments?
I'm just curious, Judge, if you see any relief potentially on the horizon for the 7-day court and the short time period for the reporting. So that seems to be pretty effective. And
if I see any relief,
yes.
If I anticipate it, or I'll try to work on it.
Do you anticipate it?
You know, when we held the hearings, we had representatives of the limited jurisdiction judges there, and we started out with a 24-hour requirement, 7 days. At least we got them to move it to a 48-hour requirement. And we're going to be working on Zoom hearings during the weekends. However, the problem with the Zoom hearings are we are courts of records. So it has to be all recorded sufficiently. So I think we'll be working on items like that.
I'd like to see some relief there. I think that's pretty impactful on our little county.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Judge. Much appreciated. Moving right along to the DA's office. DA Langer or Assistant DA Loomis, are you with us today?
Yes, Chairman, just to dovetail into what the judge said is that we've had the opportunity to know the 7-day court has been coming for quite some time. So we've been actually implementing systems now that would make it easier for the weekends, meaning when we have to have a police officer testify to allow them, one of the things they are looking at over the weekend is to appear telephonically. So not everything is going to be in person, but we're just getting ready early for the changes. And so I think the judge going to this conference is really going to give us more direction on making it the easiest transition that we can. That's all I have.
Thank you for that, DA Langer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the DA?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chair?
I was just going to say, as for both the DA and Judge Harrington, as the picture becomes more clear on the implementation on this, please let us know how we can support and help.
Thank you.
Thanks. Moving right along to the County Manager's Office. County Manager Osborne, what do you have for us today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very quickly, there is a town hall this Wednesday at 5:30. It is a virtual Zoom town hall for the Highlands people that are affected by snow delays in their trash pickup. Commissioner Carmona and I have been working with Waste Management as well as with residents in that area to try to come up with some reasonable resolutions. And that's what that town hall will be about, and public comments will be accepted. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Vice Chair, any questions?
No, thank you.
All right. And that's right. Mike Northern has joined us, so we're going to backtrack a little bit. Mike, you want to give us an update?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing for you today. Thank you.
Oh, well, that was a lot of nothing. Thank you very much, Mike. Last but not least, nothing. All right. That will wrap up staff reports. And we will jump back onto our regularly scheduled agenda, which brings us to board comments. So I'm going to start with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments today?
I don't have anything special. Thank you very much.
All right. Mr. Chairman?
Neither do I.
All right. That leaves just me. Over the weekend, Vice Chairman Mitchell and I were in attendance at service for one of our residents down in Lockwood, Luis Pena. The service was very nice. Got to learn a little bit more about Louise than I had ever known, and it was good to see a lot of her friends and family there. That's all I've got. So with that, we will skip on to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration of approval of contract between Story County and Krista, I'm going to butcher this one, Meyer Esquire. To be the county designee to coordinate. Hello. To be the county designee to coordinate with the Nevada Department of Indigent Defense Services on behalf of Story County beginning in January 2022 and at a flat hourly rate of $160. Austin, will you be handling this or will Krista be handling this?
Perhaps a little bit of both of us. I'll get us kicked off if you want, Mr. Chairman. And yes, you did not butcher her name, correct, Krista?
That's correct. I'm going to start doing Meyer Esquire, though. I like it together.
So, if you remember, Mr. Chairman, a bit ago that this board had approved the DIDS plan for Story County, that DIDS plan was approved to DIDS, which is the Department of Indigent Defense Services for the state of Nevada. And you remember presentations that were given regarding NRSs that were changed. that we need to kind of change the process by which these, not necessarily the public defender is chosen, but any conflict people involved or conflict counsel regarding the public defender. And so that plan is approved and in effect now. And what we have is a need for the administration of this new program. And this is what, Krista, I certainly welcome you to chime in anytime you want. And definitely at the end of this, if you'd like to talk about the contractual items. But really, just as a quick recap, is when the judge picks a public defender for an indigent person, a defendant, then that person, there could be a conflict. And in that case, then it becomes the Department of Indigent Defense Services, DEDS, that then would go through a process going through a list of approved judges that might, or not judges, attorneys that would represent that indigent person. And there's quite a bit of procedures and bureaucracy and accounting that goes along with this. For example, when that attorney is chosen, that attorney needs to submit timesheets showing all the time that they worked on the case and what specifically they did throughout the case. There's expenses for reimbursement for professional services, experts, things like that. They track their activities. They do the accounting of what they're doing for that indigent person. And ultimately, in accordance with the plan, is the county then would be responsible for a certain amount of payment of that. But the accounting makes sure that the county everything is accounted for properly. And what we would have in this case is a designee of Story County that would handle all of this material for us. And in this case, we're requesting that Krista Meyer, attorney, would be the person to do that under contract. She would not be an employee of the county. She would be separate completely under this contract and would handle all of these affairs and then make sure that we remain compliant with the DIDS requirements. Just as a note, this would be at $160 an hour flat rate. It would be under contractual obligation. It would be effective roughly immediately. I ask if Krista, if you would like to chime in on anything or if anyone else has any questions.
Thank you, Austin. Krista, did you have anything to add to this?
Just good morning to the commissioners and all, and I would look forward to working with Story County. I've been the administrator with Washoe County since 2019. I also understand I'd be working closely with the directors at DIDS. I've already talked to them. We have meetings planned so that I can get their processes and then also continue to do my job. That's all. I'd have to answer any questions, of course.
Thank you, Krista. Is there any public comment regarding item number 9? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin or Ms. Meyer?
I have no questions. I just welcome Ms. Meyer Esquire aboard, and we appreciate to have her support and help. And we'll look forward to, some positive outcomes in the future.
Thank you.
You bet.
Vice Chairman?
My only question, welcome, Ms. Meyer. Thank you for being here. My only question is I was just hoping that someone on our side could remind me roughly how frequently we have cases that involve indigent defense services.
I can answer that one.
Okay. Yeah, either Ann or I can. I'll let Ann go. Go ahead, Ann.
We generally have 4 or 5 conflict cases a year. And I think the most we've ever had in 1 year is 6. Generally, we work with the public defender's office when we're working with indigent defense. I think the last fiscal year we had 111 cases with the public defender's office. And I believe the judge can correct me if I'm wrong, 5 conflict cases. Also, where it comes in that I think we're finding in court is that the judge is able to handle a lot of the requests for mental health evaluations and substance abuse evaluations, which seem to be a majority of the expert fees. The other expert fees that you're going to find are in the bigger cases. We have a murder case that is scheduled to begin in September of 2022. And so there'll be some expenses along with that. But generally, I don't want to say that because the minute I say there's not going to be a lot of action, then of course that will happen. So that's, I think, where I would start. The judge might have something else to add. And that's Ann Langer for the record. Thanks.
Yeah, Ms. Langer summed it up pretty well. My only concern is on the conflict attorneys is we're always, in the past, we've been very, very quick in getting our conflict attorneys. And I hope that by going through DIDs, the process is fast also. And we will find out the first time we use it.
Great, thank you. Yeah, that was my understanding that for the most part, we work with the public defender, but these are pretty isolated cases. And so I'm hoping that continues to be the case. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you for your questions. I don't have any further questions myself. So with that said, not seeing any public comment, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a contract between Story County and Krista Meyer Esquire from Smith and Meyer Attorneys at Law to be the county designee to coordinate with the Nevada Department of Indigent Defense Services, or DIDS, on behalf of Story County beginning in January 2022 and at a flat hourly rate of $160 an hour.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Krista, for being here. Thank you, Judge Harrington and DA Langer for chiming in. Appreciate the information.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number 10. This is a discussion for possible action. Story County budget to actual second quarter review. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning again. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. This is the second quarter financial review for Story County. This period ended December 31st. First off, I want to say that I'm really happy that I don't have a whole lot to tell you. Things are pretty much trending as planned or better, which is great news in our world. In the general fund, for example, our revenues at this 50% mark, we are at 75% collected. This represents the leveling out of the ad valorem that we discussed last quarter review. To put that in perspective, the first quarter we received approximately 50% of our ad valorem, and with the second quarter coming, that was increased by another 25%. So as you can see, things will start evening out on that. With our expenses, we have most all of our departments and funds trending with more than the 50% benchmark, with most of our departments in having more than 60 to 65% still available of their budget. That makes my life a little bit easier, and it's very nice to see that our department heads are still spending conservatively. With that, there are a few areas that I would like to point out. One of them is our court-driven funds and departments. These are things that we always kind of have to look back at history and see how our expenses and revenues will trend. Unfortunately, our district court and genetic marker and drug testing funds and departments are all trending a little bit high in the expenses. But on the flip side of that, the revenues of those funds are also trending a little bit higher, which means we will have to do some augmentations if things keep proceeding this way at the end of the year to make it all right with taxation. With that, I also want to point out that when you look through the financials that I submitted, the service department does appear to be over budget. However, I'm a little behind on doing the journal entries, which distributes the fuel prices, and that will bring their budget back into line. Moving on to other funds, there are a few highlights. I'd like to point out that the Capital Projects Fund appears to be at 70% usage. However, this is mainly the water and sewer projects that are going on, and we track those in the capital projects fund because it's easier to see them separate in a capital projects fund versus the operation fund of the water and sewer. Those charges will all be moved over to bonds payable at the end of the year. So if we take those out of the puzzle, our capital projects is actually much lower at 28% usage, and that's due to some projects just haven't begun yet. And with the nice weather coming in the spring in the third and fourth quarter, we'll start to see some usage there. Moving on to VCTC and Pipers, with their seasons pretty much winding down for our year. They kind of pick up again in the fourth quarter, but the VCTC has revenues at approximately 75% of their budget, with 50% of the year completed. And their expenses with their capital outlay is, without their capital outlay, is at 46%. So the revenues are a little high and their expenses are a little low. We're seeing the same trend with Pipers, although it's important to note that Pipers' revenues still do reflect support from the general fund to keep their operations going. And this is something that we watch each quarter to make sure that they do need that support from the general fund. Our hope is that they will eventually get to a point where their revenues will support their fund on their own. That's really all I have, unless you have some questions for me for the Story County financials.
Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Let me go to public first. Is there anybody in the public that has any questions for the Comptroller? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Comptroller McCain?
My only question is regarding Pipers, and do we have a critical path that looks like they'll get to a point soon where they'll reach equilibrium? And do you have a feel today of what the percentage might or might not be?
I think they are trending in that direction to be able to support themselves. Of course, COVID did put a little hamper on their timeline for doing those things. But in talking to Denny and his staff, their bookings are, they're going quickly. They're very busy with trying to organize a calendar and have weddings and other special events there. So I do see that probably coming in the next year, is to not have to budget for that.
Well, maybe on a good path with
the future. Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions for Comptroller McCain?
Just a couple. To refresh my memory, do sales taxes come through on the revenue side through the intergovernmental transfers? Is that where sales tax revenue is recorded?
Sales taxes reported under governmental support, yes. Intergovernmental funding.
Okay. And are there any other substantial elements that go into intergovernmental?
Not necessarily, unless we have specific things coming up through the budget. In the general fund, you probably wouldn't see too many, but for example, as Laura Mather discussed earlier, how the grants come in from the federal government, those intergovernmental fundings, depending on what they are, could show up there.
Okay, great. Thank you. It appears that sales tax is outperforming substantially, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I get that from looking at some of the revenue streams that rely specifically on sales tax, like our rail fund and the VCTC and even the general fund. First of all, I guess, is that a fair assessment? And secondly, is that I'm just trying to understand if that's kind of where we're sitting, that sales tax are outperforming what we had expected.
I believe that they're outperforming what we expected, but it's important to keep in mind that when we created this budget, we were in the middle of COVID, so we kept our numbers extremely conservative. In a normal world, we may have projected that we were going to get more sales tax than we projected this time. I am, as it sounds like you are, happily surprised to see that sales tax is ramping up. That just means that our community is doing much better, and it allows us to do more services for our communities. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. And my last question is, because I know we've talked about this before, but can you remind me what a 640 account is?
As the account number, any account number that has 64 in it is a capital projects account. We watch those projects specifically to track our fixed assets, whether it's upgrading our buildings or our vehicles, for example, or purchasing new. They just kind of highlight those out to us.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Comptroller McCain. I don't have any further questions for you. Right. I don't think.
See you in a few minutes.
Yep. I don't think we need to make a motion on anything.
No, so. This was discussion only.
Yep. We're going to move on to item number 11. So recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 12. Which is discussion for possible action. Story County Fire District budget versus actual review for the second quarter of the fiscal year. Chief Lonkar is up at the podium, so I think you want to go to bat first?
No, actually I was gonna let Jennifer take the lead on this. I'm just going to supplement some of the things that she has, just because there's two particular funds that don't look so great right now. So I'll let her go ahead and dive into it, and I'll be here to augment it.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's start with the fire general fund revenues. They're in the same boat as the Story County General Fund and our ad valorem. As I explained, they're starting to even out, so you're going to see a slowdown in that ad valorem. They also receive some of the sales tax, Commissioner Mitchell discussed, and so that is a little higher than anticipated. With the expense side, the fire general fund is pretty much on target with a 50% usage. However, it's important to note that that 50% usage also includes some of the annual transfers that went from the mutual fund to the general fund and out to their new grant fund and their capital projects fund. I think mutual aid is one of the funds that the chief was talking about doesn't look so good currently. That's a fund that at this time of year, we don't necessarily expect the revenues and the expenses to be in line. Fire season happens earlier in the year, and it takes a while for the fire district to recoup those expenses for out-of-district fires. Currently, we're at approximately 15% to 18% collected on those, and in talking to the chief and his department, bills are out and we're just waiting for that money to roll in. The mutual aid fund also does show a $500,000 transfer into the fire general fund that was done at the beginning of the year that does kind of skew their numbers a little bit. That's really all I have for those departments, those funds. I'm happy to answer any questions, or as the chief talks, I'm happy to elaborate on anything that you need there.
Let's give the chief the floor.
Yes, Jeremy Lonkar for the record. So Jennifer is accurate. We're getting billing out. For the most part, we've only got a couple remaining. There was a delay this year in how we bill wildland fires. They went to electronic format. So we've been waiting for the state to ramp that up and get us access. So those will be coming in, and come the end of the year, that 270 mutual aid fund will show revenue generation off that. It'll be above our projected numbers from what we're seeing currently. So that will balance out. It's just, it takes a little time to receive those bills. And Jennifer probably be very happy to know, I just received a check this morning for the newly created grants fund, 290. We received a check for approximately $300,000. That also helps that account balance out more and be right in line where it should be as well. So those are the only two things I wanted to comment and add and bring Jennifer up to speed as well as I receive stuff this morning.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for either the chief or the comptroller?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
I was just going to ask, because I guess I'm stuck on intergovernmental revenues this morning. As with the county, the fire district's outstripping what was projected there but even more so. And I guess I'm just wondering if that was that we were even more conservative on the budgeting, or is there as an accounting reason, something that had to come through that account, or are we actually just getting that much more revenue?
Yeah, Jennifer?
So if I can give you just a little brief outline on how we budget the revenues, we do this very closely with Nevada Department of Taxation. They send out their reports, including their revenue pro forma, that tells us what they're projecting for Story County to receive in revenues on any line of revenue that goes through them, including sales tax. As I stated earlier, due to COVID, all of those numbers were extremely conservative, and we chose to go with those extremely conservative numbers, knowing that we could not project how our world would happen. Fortunately, again, for us, things are moving ahead very nicely, and our businesses, our residents, and Story County are all reaping the benefits of that. To give you a timeline of perspective for that, we are now starting budget season right now. So if you can go back a year and remember what life was like then and trying to project how we are, that's how budgets work. Revenue numbers come into us approximately February or March. And if we want to change those, we can. However, looking at the past without COVID, taxation numbers are very close to what we do collect. And that's why we choose to go with their numbers, whether they're conservative or extremely conservative. So you may see changes moving forward this year. We just have to watch.
Great. Yeah. And the only reason I bring it up is because, like, on the county side, when I compare the two, they were not equally conservative, if you'll put it that way. And so, for example, on the county side, the percent remaining is 35%, and we've collected 65% of expected on that. And on the fire side, I think is only 10%, which means we've collected like 90% of expected to date. And so it seemed like if we were using a similar source for our revenue projections, they would be kind of in line with each other. But it seems that on the fire side, they're even more optimistic. This is not at all a complaint or a criticism. I'll never complain about more money coming in. Just trying to understand if there's something in there that's making them not line up in how much above the projections we are.
And to comment on that, I did question our representative in taxation last year. They have very complex calculations of how they come up with these numbers. And unfortunately, I have to claim my lack of knowledge in that area. Those calculations are what they are, and why the fire department's calculations were less conservative, I'm sorry, I can't give you an answer on that.
No, that's quite all right. Either they were more conservative or we're just doing that much better. So, no problem.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. The only question I have would be to benefit the folks listening in. Do you have a rough idea you can let them know on what we build out for wildland assistance this year?
Where we still have several bills still remaining. Don't hold me to an exact number on it, but when I was discussing it with my office manager that does compose it, we were looking right around $450,000 in billing that we're getting out now. There's still some that are kind of in limbo where we were able to tap into multiple funding sources this year. The SB 508, we've got money that we're going to tie to that, but we haven't included that in the number yet. So as we get those bills out, I can update those numbers and present you what should be a finalized number by next commissioner's meeting.
Great. No, it's good to just get at least a rough idea of what, you know.
Yeah.
We're out there generating.
We should go pretty good in the black. Like I said, it is standardized rates that cover our expenses, and then we get a little extra for helping out in the region. So it is anticipated it'll be well into the black, that it'll be some form of revenue for us as well.
Fantastic. That's all I have. And unless the commission wants to direct staff to go another, to address something else, I don't think we need a motion. So I appreciate both of your inputs. You're good?
Yep.
All right. With that, we will move on to item number 13. This is, thanks again, Comptroller McCain. item number 13 is discussion for possible action. Annual review and evaluation of the performance of Jeremy Longcar, Fire Chief, for the time period of January 2021 through January 2022. The Fire Board may, without further notice, take administrative action against Jeremy Longcar, Fire Chief, if the Board determines that such administrative action is warranted after considering the character, alleged misconduct, professional competence, or physical or mental health of Mr. Longcar. At the end of the annual performance evaluation, the Fire Board may modify existing goals and objectives of the Fire Chief's job, determine whether or not to provide a merit increase, bonus, or other compensation adjustment, take adverse administrative action up to and including termination or any other such action deemed warranted by the board. Toby?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is essentially exactly what it sounds like. It has been approximately 1 year since Chief Longcar was appointed to the position of Story County Fire Chief, and it is time for his review pursuant to his job description. So each of you should have been provided with a copy of the annual evaluation. I just want to make sure you've all received that.
Yep.
Okay. And also this morning, Chief Longcar provided his self-evaluation form that was emailed to you, I believe, or there you should have also been given a hard copy up the stairs.
We do have a hard copy up here, thank you.
Okay, good. And there should be a few copies extra available for the public as needed up there as well. So with that said, if you have any questions about the, this is the same format as the evaluation that was used in July for County Manager Osborne. So it should be somewhat familiar. The content has changed to be applicable to the fire chief versus the county manager, though. So I'm happy to answer any questions before you get started.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Toby?
I have no questions, Toby. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for you either, Toby. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I believe with county manager, we did not go through every single question. Do my fellow commissioners want to go through each and every question with the fire chief? Commissioner Gilman, do you want to go through each and every question?
I do not. I believe we deserve to streamline this, do an equitable job.
I would prefer to streamline it as well. I'm wondering, I didn't realize that that one of these copies, I didn't see, I thought they were both the same. I didn't realize that one of them was the chief's self-evaluation. Yes. I'm wondering if it would be okay to take a short recess.
Sure.
Just to kind of get up to speed on that. I'd rather not take a look at it on the fly and then hopefully work from that. Is that all right?
Is 10 minutes going to be good enough?
Oh, yeah, that'll be plenty.
Okay. So let's call a 10-minute recess. That clock says 12, but it's actually 11. So we're going to take a short recess and reconvene here at 11:10. See everybody back in a few minutes.